This is to give us a recap for the mums and dads and those who weren't here. We started with a great start. And the children, you're going to give me the answers for each day. What was the first day? Light. Okay, just shout them out. Second one. Well done. Third one. And what else? Well done. The land and the plants. What did God make the fourth day? Sun, moon, stars. Good for you. Well done. And the fifth day? Was it? Well done. Sea creatures and the birds. On the sixth day? Well done. And as we get out the back, we'll go with her next. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. That means he stopped making things. Well done. It wasn't because he was tired. Then we looked at the great fall and the great flood. And what was the game they played? The blame game. That's right. They blamed each other just like people are doing today. Their sin separated them from God like it does for all of humanity. And it broke the friendship. Sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory and God's standard. What's the name of the brother who killed his brother? Cain. That's right. Cain killed Abel, the first murder in history. He was also sent away from the presence of God. You see the danger of sin. And then the world became worse as time went on, but there was a good man that God chose to rescue his family. His name was Noah. That was right. And they built this ark, we believe. Then there was a great mistake because God led his people from Egypt and he fed them and he watered them. And this is how they repaid him. They made a golden cow and called it their God. God gave them a second chance, gave them his law for then. And then we came to Thursday, the great rescue. What is the name of the man? Who's this man here in the story? We get out the back. Does she know? Does she know? No, she doesn't. Okay, who's it? John. That's right. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God had sent someone to fix this problem of sin in all of our lives. And it was his son, Jesus. We believed he hung and died on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. It pleased God, the Bible says, to bruise him. This man says what when Jesus died? What did the Roman soldier say? I give you the first word. It says, surely. Yes. Good for you. Surely this was the Son of God. And we see this is the problem with death and sin, how it separates us from God. But Jesus became the great rescuer. So for those who put their faith and humbly trust in him, he gives to us forgiveness, a life worth living, and the gift of eternal life. And then we came on Friday, children, to look at the great promises. And we looked at pinky promises. And then this was the promise that God gave at the beginning, that God would send someone to fix the mess that happened in the Garden of Eden. And then we looked at the second. God promised he would flood the earth and start again. He kept that promise. And then the third promise, God says, those who come to me, I will not turn anyone away. What a massive, all-encompassing invitation God gives to humanity, that those who come humbly to him, he has never turned anyone away, and he will not. Now, what's that wee girl want? Yep. Yet she wants her cookie. Now, we looked at this, children, doing that, talking about your friends and making them feel left out, not listening to your mum and dad. Any parents experience that? That doesn't happen. I didn't think it happened around here. It's over other parts of Scotland, but not here. And there's a promise for that as well. And the promise for this is that he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. And that was our fourth promise we looked at. When we're in trouble, we came to our fifth promise. When trouble comes, call to me, God says, I will answer you and you will praise my name. It's okay to God to come to God when your life's at its worst ebb. God doesn't mind that. You know, sometimes you go to your friends and you ask for stuff and they say, I only see you when you're looking for something. You get any friends like that? I've got a sister like that. She'll phone, and she'll only phone when she wants something, she needs something like. And so I don't answer the phone. In fact, I changed my number and told her I went to Australia. But God doesn't mind us coming to him in more times of trouble. He says, come to us, I will save you, but you will recognize I have done it, and you will praise my name. We looked at our sixth promise was, God will provide everything we need. We're living in a world that we have to think we need to get it all ourselves. God says, trust me, just trust me. I will provide for you if you humbly put your trust in me. And the seventh promise was, for those who give their life to Christ, he keeps us from here to eternity. And he says this, no one will snatch you from my hands. You can underline that word or those words, no one, no one, no one will snatch you. So God is a saving God and he is a keeping God. And how do we know we can trust God to those seven promises? Because God is not human, that he should lie, and not a human being, that he should change his mind. Numbers 23, 1 to 19 says. Now, children, I'm going to illustrate this. Where's my wee paper there going? There we go. Now, I'm going to need three children to help me here. Okay, this girl in the white, you can come up. And the wee girl beside you. And as a, yeah, this girl up, you come. We'll take you over this side. You two, the girls, you're going to help me? Here we go. Up you come on the stage. Okay, up you come. Right here. You can take that one. Right? You can take, because you're smaller, you take this one. You come over this side. And you're going to take these two. You stand over there so they can see you. You take those two. And I'll take these two. Well, what you're going to do, girls, you're going to copy me. Okay, are you good at making promises? Can you keep your promise? Always. I'll speak to your mum later. And you keep your promises. Well, God does keep his promise. You're going to take this. You're going to take your bit of paper. You're going to copy me. Okay, you're just going to take it and cut it in half. Take it like that. And then you're going to go, just tear it in half. Yeah. That's it. Pull it. Well done. Right, put it all together again. Then tear it again. And then put it together again. Now you're going to tear it again. Today would be good. Okay, that's fine. Right, next one. Right, this time you're going to take it all, scrunch it in a ball. You're going to scrunch it up into your hand like this. You're going to do this and make it really nice and tight, right? Now watch this, right? Put your hands out like this. If I just click there, we click there, hand out like this. Watch this. Right, hold it. Right? If you open it nice and carefully, it all should be back together again. I promise you. On you go. Open up. Right, open it. Is it all back together again? Okay, leave it. Right, let's come to you. You ready? Just bring it all back together again. Right, open it up carefully. Is it back together again? And you've got a blue Peter badge as well. And you, oh, I think she's a fake. Okay, right, you try yours. Does yours all go back together again? Oh, Jenny, I didn't tell him, did I? What I forgot to tell you was, see if it doesn't work, you need to eat it. That was the deal. She puts hers in her pocket. And what are you doing? Right. I'll eat mine. Right, who's putting this in their mouth? Children, we believe that every word that comes out of God's mouth can be trusted. Everything he says is good and can be trusted. Give these girls a big clap. Thank you very much for your help, girls. And you go take a wee seat. So we looked at great start, great fall, great folk, great mistake, and the great promises. Now, we couldn't have done what we did this week without our volunteers. So we're going to ask two of our volunteers to come up, the two young girls. There they come. And we've got a couple of questions just to ask them. And then we're going to do a wee song. And then we're going to bring back to another church member who's going to come and tell us a wee bit about their week. First of all, girls, we want to thank you for your help to stand at the mic. I want to thank you both for coming to help us this week. Just a couple of questions. The first one is, why would you give up a week of your holidays to come and work with the children? And what did you expect when you knew you were coming to work here for the week? I think it's yourself first.
I did it last year and I really enjoyed it. And I like to get to know the kids and help them do the activities.
Okay. And was it what you expected?
Yeah.
Was it better or worse?
Better.
Was it better than last year?
Yeah.
See, I get annoyed when people ask questions on the TV like that. You kind of set them up when you're saying, oh, yeah. And would you do it next year?
Yeah.
Okay. How much money did we pay you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Can you believe that? A big fat nothing. We're going to give you an animal chocolate bar today.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. Fantastic. Now, the work in the church continues after the summer. There's lots of children's clubs and different things here in the church. Now, would you like to tell us a wee bit why we should continue to work with the children and how can we pray for the work with the children? You're taking that one, I think.
That they learn a lot from the stories and that they'd go on to tell their parents about what they learned from the stories and that it would encourage them to come to other church activities and that the kids who took the books would read them.
So that was how we should be praying for the children, you would say?
Yeah.
Yep. And what are you doing with the rest of your summer? Where are you going tomorrow?
Romania.
Romania. Okay. And what you'll be doing in Romania, do you know?
Kids camp.
A kids camp in Romania. And so the family will be praying for John and the family as they head off to Romania. We hope you have a fantastic time. And you're off to where?
Keswick.
Yeah. You get down to Keswick. Well, that's a wee bit nicer than Romania. But well, girls, we want to say thank you to you and all the young people who helped us. There was Matthew and a few others. We're grateful for all your help, and we hope it's been a blessing to you as you have been to us this week. Let's give the girls a round of applause. Thank you, girls. Okay, now we're going to do a wee song for you. I'm going to take the lead puppet. Okay, so we're going to do a wee puppet song for your children. And the wee song is called God's Love. If we get this song nice and loud, just wait till we, in fact, we'll test it.
One, two, three, God's love.
That might do it. Muppets at the one time there. Fantastic. Just a little song there about God's love. Now we're going to ask one of the other church members to come and share a little bit of their experience. Don't not sure where they're sitting. There you go. I'll be up, you come. Thank you very much. Just come up here, take that mic. That'd be great, thank you.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, yep. Right, okay. I was expecting to be interviewed. I didn't sign up for this, but nice to have an opportunity. So many things I could say, but I think John's warned me, you know, I've got a short time. But just to say, it really was a privilege to come. You know, I could say all the things like it's wonderful and a wonderful opportunity, which it is. But the reason I'm here is because A, I was there, and B, I was available and there was a need. But, you know, we come, and just like the young girls were saying, you expect it to be good, but it goes way beyond, and it's actually humbling. I think you've seen some samples of how the children were entertained, and they responded to that. And it was, you know, there were challenges, and they're very competitive, and especially when you add 1,000 points on, it sounds far better than one, doesn't it? So 2,000 sounds better than two, and they're into that in a big way. But what thrilled me in particular was to see this hall full of children who, when it came to the serious bits, were as engaged with all of that as they were with the fun bits. They listened, they took it in, they answered. I was just amazed. And one special highlight, and I was responsible for the wee ones upstairs at the teaching and biscuits time. Well, they just sat. And there was hundreds of them, well, exaggeration, of course, but there were about 40 one day, and 40 4 to 6-year-olds. I mean, they all just sat, they listened, and they responded. I was just taken aback. And one little girl, now, I don't know, if you're not a teacher, you might not know this, but, you know, when a teacher asks a question, certain hands shoot up, and mentally you think, I won't ask you, pet, because you won't know the answer. You're just keen to answer, but you won't know it. Well, it was a bit like that with me one day. There was a little girl. It was her first day. She was a preschooler. She was down here on holiday. And I thought, well, I won't ask her because she won't know. She's too young. And so I asked the obvious ones, the older children who obviously had listened and they answered. They had the right answer. So eventually I felt obliged to ask this little girl. And not only did she answer clearly, she got the answer correct, but she showed, A, she had been listening, and B, she had understood. Well, was I ever humbled? And when I was speaking to her gran later on, saying, do you know, I'm amazed at how well she listened and how well she understood. And do you know what her gran told me? She said, when that little girl was born, she was very ill. And this church prayed for her. And I suddenly realized, I remember that. This little girl was prayed for. And I thought, here is this child with this awareness, understanding of God and knowledge. We prayed. Possibly we prayed with little expectation. I asked the question with little expectation. And God said to me, do you know what, Ibby? Out of the mouths, a little child will lead you. And I feel that's what we've witnessed this week. These children leading us. And we pray for this generation. They're up against it. But it's been a wonderful opportunity and privilege to be bringing them the truth of God and pray and expect God to answer our prayers. So thank you. That was...
That's perfect. Thank you very much, Abby. You can have some chocolate as well. Appreciate that. And as John said at the beginning, if you're a member of the church and you'd love to be involved for what they're doing next, just say, look, contact me, put my name down for something, and you're doing it again. I'd love to get involved in this. Now, we also taught the children a memory verse. Children, if you know the verse, does anybody know the verse we did for the week? You want to come out? Up you come. Anybody else know the verse for the week? Oh, over here, my, out you come, pal. Sorry, thank you. Didn't see if we get it. Up you come. Jenny's going to run through this for us very quickly here. The girls, up you come, this, up the front here. There you go, Jen.
Yep.
Just use that mic there.
All right, so all week long, we have been learning a verse from the Bible, something that we think is so important because the Bible is God's word. It's how he speaks to us. And so if there's anything that you could take away from this week, we would love you to be able to remember this, to remember God's words. So what we're going to do, I'm not going to put it up just yet. I'm going to see if you can tell them all what the memory verse was. You think you can do that? Do you want to come up here into the microphone there?
Here, use this one, girl. I'll hold this. There you go. I'll hold that. Just hold that. That's it.
This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go.
Do you know where it comes from?
Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
Wonderful. Let's give it a clap. You stand right over here. You're a wee bit smaller. You stand there. There you go, so we can see you.
This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
All right, so we're going to see if the rest of you can remember that. So to do that, we're going to give you a little eye test. How many of you have really good eyesight? You have really good eyesight? Okay, can you spot the animal in this picture? Shout out when you see it. Shout out what it is when you see it. It's an elephant. Well done. Very good. Now, this was our memory verse this week. So this was God speaking to a man called Joshua. He said, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go," Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. So this is a great promise for everyone that believes and trusts in God, that no matter where we go, we don't need to be afraid or discouraged because he is with us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get all of us to say it together after three, and then we're going to make it smaller and smaller and see how small you can read it. Do you think you can read it pretty small? Maybe? Okay, let's see. We'll make it this size to start with, okay? So after three, one, two, three. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. That, your eyesight's pretty good. We're going to make it maybe smaller, or maybe we're not going to make it smaller. Oh. We can go smaller than that. Okay, after three, one, two, three. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1. Okay, I think we can go smaller than that. Can you read that? Yeah? You think you could read that? All right, after three. One, two, three.
This is my command. Be strong.
Right, shall we make it bigger and see if they got it right? Let's see. It doesn't say that, it says bananas are factories. So your eyesight's not that good, no. But you did get it right, and so this is the verse that we'd like you to remember, not just for this week, but for the rest of your life as well. So well done, you two as well. Give them both a big round of applause.
Now, just a little message just before we finish. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident, says Norma? The children, we've all got questions we would like to ask God. But here's a question I'd like to ask you. How big is God? There's the word there. The Bible describes God as the eternal God. And a book in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 40, God's people, they were doubting how big their God was, and whether their God was still interested in them or cared about them. So God inspires the writing of Isaiah chapter 40 to encourage these people. And we're going to just look very, very quickly at this. But the idea of eternal God is difficult for us to understand. So here's an illustration to help us. Imagine building a spaceship that could travel at the speed of light. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Let me show you how quick that is. Would you like to see it again? Okay, that's how quick that is. 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light. So imagine we could travel at the speed of light. And here we go. Our solar system is vast, but we're going to step a little bit further past our solar system and begin to measure God's universe. Let me give you this here. So here we start. At the speed of light, you circle the Earth 7 times in 1 second. Can you believe that? 7 times in 1 second, going 186,000 miles per second. Secondly, at the speed of light, you would pass the moon in 2 seconds, traveling at the speed of light. And then we have here, you pass Mars. In 4 minutes, you would get to Mars. And what's the name of the wee blue planet? Give you a clue. Yes. What's it called? Apparently, it's not a planet anymore. It's a dwarf planet. I think that's its new name they've given it. But you would get to Pluto in 5 hours, traveling at the speed of light. At the speed of light, you reach the closest star in 4.3 years, traveling at the speed of light. This is how vast the universe is. And we have got a wee bit of a nerve to think we're the center of the universe, to think it's all about us. And then we come here, a band of stars you see in the sky is part of a gigantic family of stars called the Milky Way galaxy, and that's where we live. And right in there, that's my guy there. Okay, that's, give yourselves a wave. There are approximately 100,000 million galaxies in the universe, and we live just on one of those. How does that make you feel? Well, there's a man called David, the David who killed Goliath. He wrote these words. As a shepherd, and perhaps he may have been out in the night looking at the stars one night, and he says, I look at the heavens, which you have made with your fingers. I see the moon and the stars, which you have created. And then he asks this question, but why are people even important to you? Why do you take care of human beings? When he sees all of this vastness, God didn't make the world because he was lonely. We need God. He does not need us. He didn't create us because he had nothing else to do, and he was feeling all alone. It would make you feel small. And grown-ups, it makes us all feel small when you see how vast the universe is. Yet God knows we're here, and he knows exactly who we are. Now let me take you to the next part. At the speed of light, you reach the next closest galaxy in 2 million years. Traveling at the speed of light, that's how long it would take you to get to the next closest galaxy. And the next closest cluster of galaxies would take you 20 million years traveling at the speed of light. And at this point, we've only begun to travel the universe. So God's universe is massive. God is what we say is awesome. But we go back to Isaiah 40. Haven't you heard, don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. And those words, God sits above the circle of the earth, they were written well before when we used to think the world was flat. And all they had to do was read God's word and realize that the earth is circular. But the people seem like grasshoppers in comparison to God. God continues, look up to the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after the other, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Now, we know stars can explode, but not one of God's stars are missing. He knows he sends them out, and he brings them in at night, all the stars. Now, the Bible sums up God creating the stars in these words, and he also made the stars. It seems like nothing, and he also made the stars. But let me show you this. In a clear night, you would see 3,000 stars. With a telescope, you could see 100,000. In our galaxy, there are 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And it's estimated there is 10 billion trillion stars. And he also made the stars. I don't know. I hope you're feeling a wee bit smaller than you were when you come in. Because our God is awesome. But yet this God knows us and loves us and is very much interested in our lives. He is very much interested and he wants us to know. One of my favourite verses comes from Job. It says, in the hand of God is the breath of every living thing. We're foolish to think our life is in our breath. Our breath is in his hands. And as a believer, that is the safest place to be, children. Trust in the life to God. He will keep us safe in his hands. Our breath is not in our lungs, but it's in the hand of a loving and almighty God. And then to finish, we come here, it says, O Zion, you who bring good news, get up to the high mountains, O Jerusalem. You who bring good news, lift up your voice in strength. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the cities, behold your God. So they were getting discouraged. And Isaiah says, away up to the hills, away up to the mountains, and look and just see what God has made. Behold your God. That puts a different complexion on life, people, when we get a fresh glimpse of how powerful our God is and how he loves us and how he wants us to trust him. Jacob, how can you say God doesn't see your troubles? Well, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Haven't you heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. So these people come and they've lost sight of who God is and they're looking inside and getting discouraged. And Isaiah 40 said, go up to the hills, remember your creator. He is the everlasting God. He doesn't grow weary or tired. We pray that God will give the parents special strength for your summer, that we know you'll be weary and you'll be tired. But there is a God who gives strength. He gives an inner strength. Ask him for it. Trust him for it. The little verse we gave to the children, that's a promise for all of us. If we will trust him, he will continue to go with us. One day Jesus was in a storm and he calmed the storm. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased and those in the boat worshipped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. How could he control this storm? Easy. He made the universe. It's nothing for him. Some parents can't control their kids, and yet God can control a storm. Jesus just speaks, and the storm is still. And this is the God that we serve. This is the Savior who loves us. It's the Savior who promised us to keep us. Grown-ups, we offered these on Thursday night. If you took one, I pray you'll read it. And at the back, I'm going to leave these here. It's a wee book at the back called Journey into Life. That's right at the back of the book. It starts about, let me get it for you. There we go. That page there, Journey into Life. If you would like to know how to start this journey, how to really know God for yourself, to have peace with God, we encourage you to take this. We are, forgive the expression though, but we are beggars telling other beggars where we found some bread. That's all we're doing. And so we take one of these and we'll leave them at the door. Children, if you didn't get one of our wee books like this, I'm going to leave them outside as well. We'd love you to take one of these and read it during your holiday time. Now, so how big is your God? And secondly, know your God. So we pray during the week that people who know their God will be strong and do great things. Children, members of this church, your God is awesome. He is massive. He's shown us his kindness and goodness this week among the children. We pray he'll continue to do it as together we serve him. Now, we did a